and Merry Christmas. It is wonderful to see all of you here tonight on this Christmas Eve service. What better place for believers in Christ to be than at a service where we come to adore Him? Thank you for being here this evening. We invite you for our call to worship. It is a printed call to worship that you will find in your bulletin. There is both light print and dark print. I invite you to read the dark print aloud after I read the light print. Let us go in heart and mind to see what has come to pass. Let us go with the shepherds.
Let us go to find the Savior.
Let us go with the wise ones.
Let us go to find God's promise born for us.
Let us go with the poor and humble. Let us go with all the world, with all the peoples of the nations. Come, let us worship.
Come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord.
Amen. Will you pray with me? Father, those words ring so very true this night. Come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord, the God-man who stepped out of heaven to walk where we live, to be among your people. We adore Jesus, the Christ child. And we thank you for the gift of his presence in our world and in our lives. Be in this service, we pray, May your Holy Spirit rain down on us. Speak to us. Teach us. Mold us. And hear us as we worship. In Jesus' name.
Cold and weary. singing. Tonight we are reading, not singing, from Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7, from the New International Version. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
I will be reading from Luke chapter 2, verse 1 through 20. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And so she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be put to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, goodwill towards men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, with shepherds said one another, Let us now even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the baby lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told to them concerning the child. And all they that heard it would wonder at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them.
Christmas, all the tinsel and are you ready for Christmas? Boy, that was mixed review there, wasn't it? Are you ready for Christmas? Yes. Children have been counting down the days. Counting down the days using all sorts of really cool homemade and commercially purchased ways to do it. Do you remember the little Advent calendars that you got to eat the chocolate out of it? Yeah, they've kind of cheapened that now. They have like these little star mints in there. I'm like, star mints? Are you kidding me? This is an Advent calendar. It has to be chocolate. You know, the cattle are lowing. The milk comes from the cattle. It's got to be milk chocolate, right? Yeah, sure. You know, we have these Advent candles, and we have these red and green paper rings. I've seen a little candle made out of those things. Or one of my all-time favorites we used to make in Sunday school is, and that's before people got upset when you mixed Santa Claus in church, but we would make Santa Claus then use cotton balls, you know, to add to his beard to... Y'all didn't do that. Okay. Well, maybe it was just at First Baptist Hendersonville we did that. But parents and adults often quantify that same span of time there in terms of errands to run, things to get done, things that are on a checklist. While children are eagerly awaiting Christmas Day, sometimes we as adults have this sense of dread because there's the house to clean up because relatives are coming. There's things to bake. There's gifts to wrap. There's relatives to visit that can't come to your house. There's outfits to get pressed. Everybody wants to be prepared for Christmas, but we look at it many different ways. You see, a lot goes into preparing for Christmas these days, and as Joseph and Mary and every couple who's ever prepared for childbirth have discovered, there's much preparation to be done for that joy as well, right? And yet the Holy Family, Mary and Joseph, on this day, Christmas Eve, kind of gives me reason to pause and question all of that. The preparation. How prepared really were Mary and Joseph for Jesus' arrival? Really now, think about it. Do you think they really were prepared for what was going to happen? Indeed, how prepared was anyone for the first Christmas? If you read the story, as Jake read so well, you know, go through the list of characters. How many were really prepared for the first Christmas and what it would mean to the world? So my question is, then, what must we do to prepare for Christ's birthday? We still have a few hours. What must we prepare in today and now for Christmas? What does that look like? Well, let's look back. What was Mary and Joseph's preparation? I imagine they were a little bit out of sorts that night. You know, Joseph was dealing with the impossible lodging situation, then very anxiously running about trying to find some comfort from Mary, who no doubt was in pain. Yes, she was facing the situation with a mixture of fear and stoicism, ready to do really whatever was needed to be done in the next few hours in order to bring her baby safely in the world. She was ready for it, she thought. And if she had had any pain, birth pain to speak of, at minimum it would have involved some sort of midwife or at least her mother, but she didn't have either of them. It certainly wasn't the ideal scenario. I can't imagine Mary and Joseph wanted to be caught this unprepared for the birth of their first son. Maybe some of you have thought to yourself, if only I'd been there, I'd have fixed it. Men especially, I'd have fixed it. I could have helped. I would have taken care of it. I would have given up my spot at the inn or whatever was needed to help. I would have fixed it. And it's easy to think those things, of course, now because we know who the baby was in retrospect. But what about then? But what if it had been then? Truly, would you really have done any better than the people of Bethlehem did on that night? Would we have done any better than the Israelite people in general did in their reception of Jesus? We like to think we would have. But let's look at the world's preparation. Mary and Joseph's preparation, we see, was perhaps incomplete or insufficient. based on what was going to take place. But the world's preparation for the first Christmas wasn't any better. You see, the Israelites, they were all too familiar with hope and expectation. They had those two things down. They had waited to be delivered from slavery, from Egypt. That was hope. That was expectation. Someday it would happen. They had hoped for a homeland while they were wandering around in the desert. And then after King David, they expected, they hoped for a king, a Messiah, who would come and free them from all those generations of oppression. Nobody expected that their hope would arrive in a cattle stall. A cattle, really? A cattle stall? Are you kidding me? Nobody thought that this Messiah would walk the way of peace and healing versus military revolution. And certainly nobody would have been able to fathom that his greatest act of power would be to give his own life on a hill which doubled as a trash heap. Nobody expected that. How could the Israelites, the people of Bethlehem, or anyone else have been prepared for such a radical act of God's love as this, to come among us as one of us? Who could have expected that? How could the Israelites, the people of Bethlehem, how could we have expected that if we had been there? What if God came intentionally to two unprepared first-time parents in the most pathetic of situations on purpose just to make a point? You say, well, what would that point be? What would that point be? See, God's coming does not depend on our preparation, our readiness, or even our worthiness. It's dependent upon our need. God comes when we need Him most. He's there for us when we need Him most. Into the flesh, into the mess and reality of our everyday lives, He comes for us. So what then can we say about our preparation for Christ's birth among us today? Well, what did you do before you came to church tonight? Don't answer out loud. I don't want you to embarrass yourself. What did you do before you came to church tonight? What do you do on any given Sunday before you come to worship? Do you put on your Sunday best, a brave face, this brave lacquered smile as you make your way from the car into the back doors? And when someone asks you, how are you doing, you give this kind of a sunny, prepared answer, no matter what the actual climate of your life is like at that moment. It's always sunny. Oh, I'm doing great. And if you're unable to make those preparations physically, mentally, emotionally, then you just stay away. To that point, I've noticed a trend in church culture today, and it's very dangerous. See, when people are at their worst, that's when they come around community the least. And why is that? Why is it? Why at the points in our lives when we need the love and support of Christian brothers and sisters, do we pull away, do we draw back and hide? Maybe it's because when we're in true need, that's when pride and insecurity can flare up on us. We don't want to be the one pitied or the one prayed for or the one talked about. So instead, we suffer all by ourselves. And it's as if we don't want to come and show ourselves as Christians publicly with our lives unprepared. Maybe it's true for you. Maybe it's not true for you. Maybe I'm way off. It wouldn't be the first time today. Maybe I'm way off on this, but this Christmas Eve, think about this, ponder this. If God chose to be born to two teenage parents who were scared to death in a dark stable that smelled like manure, perhaps whether our shoes are shined or whether our personal lives are neatly in order, really is of no consequence to God. You see, God comes to us. He comes to us in our mess and in our stress, in our storms and in our struggles. He comes to us, the unprepared, the unrecognizing people that we are. He still comes to us. God's coming does not depend on our preparation. As I've already said, it depends upon our need. We cannot possibly prepare for a living God who actually shows up, but we can receive him once he's come. The light of the world, the Prince of Peace, the hope of the world, an assurance, an inspiration, a strength that cannot come from us, but only to us as a gift, freely given. Whether it's through a piece of scripture that's talking about a truth that we need to hear, or whether it's a friend's much needed words of encouragement, maybe it's an action of service to those who are in need, or a manifestation among the community of faith. Christ is born to us and through us today. It's a mystery, I know. What a beautiful mystery. Can you picture him? Can you picture him? A red-faced baby. A red-faced baby in the arms of his mother, crying for milk, and then settling down in contentment after he's been fed. Asleep. Asleep on the hay after making a most humble, a most grand entrance into human life. This night, allow yourselves a smile. Allow yourself a smile as we sing the songs, as we sing the carols, as he finally sleeps in heavenly peace. I offer to you that you lay at his feet the burdens that you carry, because God is here for us just as we are. Emmanuel, God with us. Thanks be to God. Look on the cover of your order of service. The theme for tonight is light. Why is that? The question has been asked, did Mary know? Mary, did you know of all these things that your son would do? I doubt she grasped the full impact any more than the average person grasp the full impact, any more than sometimes we grasp the full impact of the light of the world. I'm going to read a couple of passages of Scripture that we traditionally read tonight that deal with light, and Jesus is the light of the world. But before I do that, let me say something that comes to mind just about every year, and I've never really said it out loud, but I want to tonight. I believe that in our modern culture, we have lost the impact of what it means for Jesus to be the light of the world. And that the fact that he calls us to be the light of the world, to be light, be salt and light. You see, we've taken light and it's become cool. I mean, literally, LED lighting. It's cool to the touch. The first century people who read and heard the words of John, who read and heard the words of Jesus, that would have been a foreign concept. Light, cool, never. Because you see, light is the byproduct of what? Fire. Light is the byproduct of fire in a first century believer's mind. We've taken it and said many a sermon illustration about, well, if you turn off the switch, you've disconnected the power so you can't have light. And in doing so, we ruin the meaning of it because the light comes from the fire within us that can only come from Jesus Christ and his spirit within us. The old bulbs, the old incandescent bulbs, you understood that light was just the byproduct of the heat. If you touched one of those things after it had been on for a little while, you understood very clearly that mainly what it generated was heat. And the light was the byproduct of the heat, of the warmth, of the fire that's within us. You cannot be light until you have that fire within you. You just can't be light. Without Jesus Christ, you cannot be light. John wrote in his gospel beginning in verse 1 of chapter 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Though all things were made, through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it." And then from chapter 8, he writes in verse 12, "When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, 'I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.'" The light of life. Tonight, symbolically, we are going to spread the light. The irony of doing it is that we spread it here within this place, and then we extinguish our lights before we go out. We always chuckle about that. You know, you go, wow, you know what? We spread the light and we hold them up and we sing, and then we blow them out and walk out of here. And of course, don't follow the symbolism into fruition. When you leave from here, let the light inside shine from within. Let the light of Jesus Christ shine in your hearts. Shine from within so that others know Jesus Christ is the source of that fire that burns within you, the heat that's radiated, and the light that comes from that. A word about logistics: as Mary and I walk down the aisle, we will hold our candle straight up if you will dip your candle and take light from ours and then pass it on down the rows as we stand and sing together. following the benediction. As you leave, we ask that you extinguish your candle and place it in one of the baskets. But just this candle, we challenge you for this Christmas and the year to come to let your light shine brightly as Christ shines through you. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you for this evening, a chance to stop and reflect about what it means to prepare our hearts for the coming of the Savior. Father, help us to be prepared as we can be. But Father, help us to have receptive hearts so that Christ can dwell richly within us. For it's in His name that we pray. Amen.